The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Amen. It sure does. And He has been so kind to us. And we are so privileged that we know in whom we have believed. There are some folks in the world today that have never heard, do not know the gospel, do not know Jesus, and have never heard. And that sounds incredulous to me with all the communications that we have and all the technology and satellites and television and internet. But perchance, if someone never heard, what would be their fate? How would God deal with them? Our text today was Romans chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For there is no partiality with God, for as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. Somehow, some way, as I answer this question today, what if no one never heard? I want you to get an urgency in your heart to tell your neighbor, to talk about salvation to as many as you are given the opportunity to, because as watchmen, we are our brother's keeper, and it is our responsibility to pass this message on. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You for revealing these truths unto the simple and the unlearned, as well as to the educated. Anybody can be a light bearer, and we pray that You would help us all understand this message of salvation, and that we might get it out before You come. In Jesus' name, amen. Does anybody here not know? Has anybody here never heard about Jesus? I don't think so. But everybody needs to hear. We need to tell the world that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. There is nothing more important in this world than to know Jesus as your Savior. And it's getting darker out there. The world is closing in on us. It's attacking us on all ends and all sides. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all gone out of their way, and they've altogether become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. That's what the Bible says. And yet a lot of people are walking around in ignorance today. They don't know. Or if they don't, they do know, they don't want to know. And Jesus said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. There are only two types of people in the world today. There are the lost and there are the saved. Only two types. If they're on the fence, they're lost. You're either in or you're out. The ark is open today, the door of the ark. Noah's ark was opened in the time of when he built that ark. There was an open door. And for 120 years, Noah prepared an ark and said, this is the way. There's the flood coming. The whole world is going to be destroyed. And only you that come into this ark will be saved. You must repent, you must turn to God, and you must come through that door, or you will be lost. And out of all the people of the world back then, the millions of people, only 8 people heeded the call of Noah, and they were his family. Is your family in the church today? Are you sure of your family? Because they are your responsibility. And as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So each of us has a responsibility to preach the message that Jesus is coming soon. The world is soon going to be judged and it is going to be destroyed. All human life will be destroyed. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the time of the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, so it shall be when the Son of Man is revealed in heaven and He comes. Then the whole world will be destroyed. Did you know that? Now, a lot of people believe this whole world is going to go on, that when the church leaves, when the people of God are translated into heaven, that there's going to be something continuing down here, and there's not going to be. Did you know that? It's going to be devastation. It's going to be darkness. It's going to be ruin. All human life will be extinguished at the coming of the Lord. And people are walking around today and they think that there's going to be second chances and third chances and that all this stuff is going to happen. There's going to be 1,000 years of forced rain on the earth. Christ is supposed to come back here for 1,000 years and make people serve Him. That's not in the Bible. But a lot of people believe that. For 1,000 years, it's going to be dark. It's going to be chaos. It's going to be the devil and his angels are going to be bound to this earth, a devastated earth. And the rest of the dead live not again until the thousand years were over. And then there's another resurrection at the end of time and all are judged. And those that were not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire. Now that's the bad news. The good news is that Jesus is still holding His hands out and He is saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." We need to tell people that Jesus is coming soon, and that the time to get right is now. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That's in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. There's going to be so many people trying to excuse themselves. And today, they try to excuse themselves. Well, what about this group? And what about that group? And what about the Hindus? Are the Hindus going to be all right? Are the Buddhists going to be all right? Are these other faiths going to be all right? Well, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And people don't like to hear that. They say, "You think you're the only ones that are right." No, we don't think we're the only ones that are right. We are. Because Jesus said. And they said, "Well, what makes Jesus so sure that He is the only way?" Well, He is God. And He proved He was God. How many people do you know raise themselves back to life again from a three-day sleep in the grave? Jesus always backed what He said. And when you can back what you say, that's not bragging. Some people like to brag. And I remember Muhammad Ali used to say, "I am the greatest." Look at him today. Poor man. But the really what it is that no one can see the kingdom of God until they're born again. John 3:3. Here's some texts that indicate that people need to accept Jesus. They need to. This is the news. The only cure for what ails the world today is Jesus. Sin has a remedy. It is Jesus. Jesus died on the cross so that people would no longer be bound by sin, and that they could be delivered, and that they could be set free, that they could be healed, and that they ultimately could have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is good news, but not everybody's going to hear this. But if I have my way, they will. I'll try to tell as many people as I can about the soon coming kingdom of God. John chapter 3, verse 15. Everyone who believes in Him, that is Jesus, may have eternal life if they so choose. We need to give people the choice. A lot of people do not understand the choices that they have. They believe that if they live a good life, and if they do this, and they do that, or they whatever, that they'll be all right. But that's not what the Bible says. Remember, John 3:18 says, "Whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Now, I wanted to understand this as a child. I wanted to know God. I wanted to understand, is this true? Is this right? Is this correct? Is the Bible the Word of God? Yes, it is. How do you know the Bible is the Word of God and the Quran isn't? Or the Bhagavad Gita, or some of these other sacred books of other faiths. What makes you so sure that the Bible is the Word of God? Well, I'll tell you how I know, because it backs what it says. When it tells you, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, that's the truth. And it says, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I did that, and I received the gift of the Holy Spirit, therefore I know the book is true. There are other scriptures that says if you ask him anything in his name, he will do it. Now, that's not just a glib remark. In his name. If you ask according to his will, he will do it. Healing. I have seen healings in the name of Jesus. I have been there when miraculous things have happened. I know that this is the truth beyond a shadow of a doubt. I heard it. I read it. I studied it. I believed it. And it has come to pass that the things that are written in here are true. So many of the prophecies of the Old Testament, and so many things. If you take the key and you say, and you unlock the scriptures and you use that key, you can understand that this is the very Word of God, and that key is Jesus. Jesus, if you look for Jesus in Genesis and all through, right straight through to Revelation, you find the key to the whole thing. It all makes sense. It all comes together, and it's only through Jesus that we are saved. John 14:6, Jesus answered, "No one comes to the Father except through me." So should we hide behind a tree and say, "Nobody comes to the Father but through Jesus"? No, we declare it from the rooftops. Jesus is the only way. Now is the time to get right with God. Get right with God right now, because you don't know about tomorrow. And Jesus offers eternal life to those who will come to him, but you must be born again. Now, Acts 3:23 says, "And it shall be that every soul that does not hearken to that prophet," and that prophet was Jesus, "shall be utterly destroyed from among the people." When Jesus comes, it's going to be happy for me and maybe happy for you, but some of these folks that are not ready, it will not be a happy day, because that means the end of human life until the next resurrection. At the end of the 1,000 years. But people think that it's going to go on, and it's going to go on, and it's going to go on. But the fuse is getting shorter, and God's patience is running out. And the ark is open, the door of the ark is open, the way to God is Jesus Christ, and it's ready, and it's prepared. And he said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you, but only if you want to be there." Do you want to be in heaven? Do you want to be with Jesus? Do you want to be like Jesus? Do you want to be saved? Then the door is open. Come in, come in, come in. The time is short. He's coming very shortly, and he's going to come quickly. He says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me." Oh, yes, in Acts 4, verse 12 says, "Salvation is found in no one else." So Buddha doesn't do it. Muhammad doesn't do it. Confucius doesn't do it. All these other religions, nice and all as they may well be, are misleading, and they are wrong. They are false ways. You need to come to Jesus. Jesus is the way. We only have Jesus, and he is the door. And anybody else that tries to come any other way is a thief and a robber, the Bible says. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name among heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And we must be saved. We must be born again. And Romans 10, verse 9 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That doesn't mean everybody that swears and uses his name in vain is going to be saved. That means if you call upon him, if you ask him to, if you repent of your sins, if you humbly confess your faults and ask God to forgive you, he will give you eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He promises that. You can take that and cash it at the bank, that if what Jesus promised, it will happen. How do you know that you are ready to meet the Lord? Well, if you do these things, if you repent of your sins, if you are baptized in His name, and if you receive the Holy Spirit, then the confirmation is in your heart that you're a child of God, because His Spirit will dwell in your heart, and it will confirm to you, it will give you the assurance that you are heaven ready. And you must have that assurance. You cannot walk around not knowing. Now, is that arrogance? No. That is trust. That is faith. For by faith, by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. So we have this assurance because Jesus promised it. I believe this word. This is the word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. I have the confidence that these words are true because I believe and I have received it myself. And we must plead with people to get right with God. For 120 years, Noah preached and built and built and preached, and only 8 people were saved. And how many got out of Sodom and Gomorrah? Not very many. Very few. How many do you expect to be saved today? The Bible calls it a remnant. Now, there are billions of people on the earth today, and even 1 million people is like a remnant, or 2 million, 10 million, even 250 million would still be a remnant in a world that large. And growing and growing. 4. Hebrews 9 and 28 says, He, Christ, will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him. To those that look for Him shall He appear the second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation. Now, here is a crucial scripture. 1 John 5 and 12 says, He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I'm going to get to the answer to that question in a little bit here. What about the person that never hears? But here, various Christian denominations and individuals have many views about the fate of persons who are not saved by trusting Jesus as Lord and Savior during their lifetime. Some believe in a burning hell, which is very offensive to God. Now, Jesus in the Bible says people are asleep in their graves until either the first or the second resurrection. And that's in John 5 and 28 to 29. But we'll look at the following. Here's what we're going to look at. Those people who have heard the gospel and rejected it, those people who have heard the gospel, agree with it, but did not step out to follow Jesus, and see those people who have never heard of Jesus or the gospel. Now, here's what happens to group A. People who hear the gospel and reject it will die unsaved and are raised at the second resurrection. They do not inherit eternal life. Now, the second group, those people who have heard the gospel, agreed with it, but did not step out to follow Jesus. Here's this. Besides hearing the gospel, one has to follow Him daily, unless a person has not had the opportunity to be baptized, like the thief on the cross, or dies immediately after hearing. Now, here's a story that's true. There was a man who had a huge tree fall on him. This was in the United States here. And a person nearby who knew about the gospel but had backslidden told the dying man at his urgent request the story of Jesus again. And he accepted the gospel story as his life ebbed away. And the backslidden man came back to Christ. That's two miracles in a day. God can work that way, but why should we wait until things get that desperate before we do something about our salvation? Now, while we're healthy and alive and alert and at the top of our game, it's a good time to get right with God. Now to the question, if he never asked Jesus to save him or heard the gospel, if a man or a woman or if they never heard about Jesus, how will God deal with them? Well, let's look at here. Not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when the Gentiles, this is in our scriptures, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. What does that mean? They show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, said Paul. Now, Paul had Holy Spirit-filled impressions. And what he is saying here agrees with something found in Zechariah, that there will be people in heaven who lived up to the best light that they had, and that their conscience did not accuse them. Listen to these words. This is Zechariah 3:6. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? And he shall answer, those which I was wounded in the house of my friends. So there's an instance there of someone in heaven asking Jesus, how did you get these wounds in your hands? Well, obviously he had never heard the story. So if there's any exceptions in heaven, God can make them. God's going to be fair. God is going to take care of it. I am positive that our great God, who knows everything, will save those who will be happy in heaven. Otherwise, it would be torture to be where all is joy and purity and service to one another and etc. Only people that would be happy there will be there, and only God knows who they will be. I would like certain individuals to be there, and I would like certain individuals not to be there. I mean, I can't imagine Hitler there. I can't imagine it. But what if he had repented before he died? That's God's business, not mine, is it? Everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. God does what is best. Paul talked about the exclusion of sinners from heaven. Sin is the only thing that defiles in the sight of God. Sin. And no one who willfully practices sin will ever enter into his kingdom. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. But God will do what is best. In the meantime, there's no excuse for any of us. We need to get the message out. I want you to understand this, that these exceptions will be made by God and God alone. We need to tell the gospel to everyone who will listen. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you understand why it is that we need to do what we need to do, that the gospel is so urgent and that it is so incumbent upon us as believers to preach this word to everyone that will listen. And we don't know whose life we are affecting today just by our lifestyle. But may we have the courage to stand up in these dark, dark days, stand up for you and live for you and be ready for your soon coming. This we ask, pray, and believe in Jesus' name. Amen.